highly likely hot sauce on
chicken.
Oh my god. The crunch.
I know, I feel like it's like we need like a little ASMR moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can
be
here.
Mmm.
Okay.
It is amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Courtney, your friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real, real. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real, real real estate. Coming to you live from Acme Real Estate in Los Angeles, California.
Welcome to Under All is the Land, Season 3, Episode 5. I am Courtney Polis, here with my rock star co-stars, the incredible Silke Fernald.
Hello.
And enigmatic Dominique Madden.
Hello.
Welcome, ladies.
You're in a good mood today.
Am I?
Yes.
I just had a Snickers.
Oh, good. The sugar kicked in.
Sugar has kicked in. Did you guys watch the Grammys?
Of course I watched the Grammys.
Yeah, you usually go to the Grammys, don't you?
Yes. Next year I will be there again.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Did you watch the Grammys?
No. Next year I will be presenting, though.
Hey, you speak it. You can manifest
it. It'll happen.
Next year I will be Cardi B. I will be Cardi B.
Oh my God, yes. She was so cute. I loved it so much. I loved it.
So what was your favorite part?
Oh, there were so many favorite parts, but at the end when Trevor Noah gave the microphone to the fans,
oh,
she could say
for Harry Styles.
I loved that moment. I loved him coming up to the stage and hugging her like he was hugging his grandma, and I think it was awesome.
Have you seen the drama? Oh, well, my favorite part was the hip hop part. I thought that was the most highest energy.
That was a great show. I was rocking out in my living room.
Yeah. It was so freaking fun. Oh my God, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. And people look good. I was mm-hmm. like, okay, they mm-hmm. age really well, actually. But you know, my favorite's Rakim. But anyway, I was excited to see him there. But
what was the drama?
Did you hear the drama that's happened post Grammys about Madonna and this whole conversation on ageism?
She was interesting.
Unrecognizable is what people are saying.
Unlikable,
boring. And then she's being a bitch, kind of like,
yeah, totally.
Saying like,
this
okay,
is where you make some
everybody's
noise.
Sleeping, like, what, you guys don't know who I am? It's like, mm-hmm. no, Madonna, they don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Like, anybody ages 18 to 25 who's sitting in this audience has no idea how relevant you used to be.
Yeah.
And that's just
the honesty
of it. Do you
remember that person we met at a party?
Yeah, like, we met this person at a party. You had no idea, like, really who Madonna was.
She's like, Madonna is an actress?
Was an actress.
What? Yeah. And we're like, yeah. She's been in a few things.
We were talking about Silke's handle, Desperately Seeking right. Silke, and how it was like referencing Desperately Seeking Susan. But it was, you know, but of course, you know, of course, these references would go over the head of people who weren't even born
years. I feel like Madonna is iconic, and it is embarrassing for people to not know who that is.
True. Okay, maybe.
It's like not knowing who Elvis is.
Yes.
But that's a good point, because I said this to Rich. I'm like, you know, we know who Elvis is, but we weren't there for the Elvis mania. And so all we can know of him really, like, who's the most recent Elvis I think of is the fat Elvis in Vegas. Like, that's what? The one I think of, because I was born in the 70s.
Wow.
And he's the one that, like, was the most recent one.
I know about all the Elvis thing because my mom was a huge Elvis fan.
Was she?
Yes.
I just think he was so handsome.
He was.
I just love Elvis movies. I just love Elvis.
No, he was a total babe. I did not know that about
him. I do like Elvis, yeah.
Did you ever tell you that my dad looked like Elvis when he was young?
Really?
I have to show you the wedding photo of my parents. You'd be like,
oh, okay. Okay. Hot dad. Well, the point is, the conversation that's being sparked, there was this article written, and the lady was basically saying, this is, you know, the fact that people are criticizing Madonna's bad plastic surgery is an indication of how our society is asking the wrong questions. And the question we really should be asking is, what societal pressures make women have to feel like they need to do this stuff in order to perform to the level of acceptance of aging? And I'm like, BS. This is so BS to me. Hmm. I feel like Madonna has agency. She always has. She's always been a person who says, I do what I want, when I want, how I want, whatever. So I don't think like, oh, you're responding to societal pressures because you're a victim Mm-mm. of these standards. But by the way, have been changing and people are fully able to make a choice. Like, she's able to make a choice.
Yeah.
She knew exactly what she was doing. She wants to still be relevant and do this work. Like, you know what it looks like. We've all seen the cat lady pictures. We know how this can go. And she opted to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, just let her be responsible for the choice she made. I'm not saying I'm against plastic surgery. I've had plastic surgery, you know? Not on my face, though. But it doesn't matter. The point is, we all have the right to do whatever the hell we want to feel good.
Yeah.
But then, if that shit looks bad, if it looks botched, like, you are going to get that criticism if you continually put yourself in front of the camera. And I think that's part of the honesty of it, too.
Yeah, true.
And I don't think that she's a victim of ageism, which is what she's now coming out in response to this thing saying, like, I'm, you know, aging is difficult in this industry. And I'm like,
that's
you
what she's
need
saying?
To move out of the way. Give your gift to someone else. Produce the next Madonna.
Right.
Do but something. I could see
go
that.
Behind the scenes, but I think she just wants to be in front.
I could see that, though. Like, I could see how, like, if you spend your whole life, you know, as this person who people are just, like, you know, like aspiring to be and saying, like, oh, my God, you're so beautiful, you're so beautiful. And then all of a sudden your looks change. Mm. And not only are you seeing that, you know, like, spoken about in the media, which you're, you know, probably blasted by constantly, but then also having to see it when you face the cameras, and I can see that.
I know, but I mean, I feel like that is maybe the point where you would say it's time to gracefully retire.
Exactly.
And be behind the scenes.
Or
and
let
my
match
legacy,
it up.
And let my legacy live on and not continue. And also not being such a bitch. I think the problem with her is she's so unlikable.
Right.
And no matter who you speak to, who's ever met her, will tell you it's her in the room and nobody else matters. And she's just a bitch on wheels. And it's sad to me.
Right,
because
we loved her.
Because we loved her.
Yeah,
she's my favorite thing when I was like 7 years old. I remember True Blue.
She was amazing.
I loved it so much.
But I do think it's proof that, like, you can have all the money in the world and still be deeply unsatisfied with yourself. But, or if you invest all of your energy in being liked, if that's where your value is, or in being, like, relevant somehow in this big way that you've made for yourself, it's unsustainable. Nobody succeeds at this.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen one star who's remained relevant their entire life at the level. Usually, I hate to say this, but, you know, a lot of them, like, die by now.
Right.
You know, like, they have issues.
I mean,
like, they
some,
have mental issues. They have drug issues.
There are some that are just icons and they're still relevant. I would say the Rolling Stones, for example.
Right.
That's, like, a big exception.
Right, but you don't see them in front of the camera every day.
No, not much. But they also don't care how they're aging. They're just, like,
true
whatever.
That. Yeah. I
and
guess that's
cool.
The one place where
they're
you go, cool. Like, men can get away with this.
Yeah,
men
can. Exactly. Yeah. Men
it's
can
like, oh, great, another 10 years. Awesome. Now I'm just, like, gray and handsome.
But how rebellious would it have been if Madonna accepted her aging and did just a gentler version of it, more like a Jane Fonda style?
Yes.
You know, who I think looks amazing and I'm sure has had some work done, you know,
for
like
sure.
A little, but it's gentle. It's not like you see all these chicken cutlets, puffy face, big lips,
you know
all
what?
The things. She just looks like a blow up doll.
Right, but you know, that's just bad doctor.
It's bad.
You know what I mean?
She knows
that's
what
a bad
she's
doctor.
Doing.
But you might not know until after you go under the needle what it's going to look like on the other side.
You can
you know,
undo
like,
it though.
When you get a butt job, you know, it's like people, I'm sure, don't expect a horrible butt job. You know, you think, oh, this is going to look good. It's going to look perky.
Yes.
It's going to look nice. And then you come out and they give you a block butt, you know? It's like, you know, so it's like, I don't think
but
the expectation is there.
It's a risk you're willing to take.
I definitely do see some beautiful surgeries. And I'm for people doing whatever it takes to look, you
I'm
know, for
sure,
them to feel good about where they're at.
Does she feel good?
Well, does
but
she?
Think,
probably not because she got botched
and
surgery.
Right, she
but you can get that
is,
corrected.
But
so
she's had
she
this
does.
Look for like over
but
a
listen,
year.
She's go. She can afford the best doctors in the world.
That's what I'm
pretty
saying.
Sure she's not going to a bad doctor.
She knows,
yeah, but
what,
she knows
she's
what,
doing.
What she's doing. Exactly.
The most expensive doctor might not be the best doctor. You know, because it could be a doctor who she's known for decades, who maybe isn't a specialist in BBLs. You know, but now she's gone.
What's BBL?
It's a
Brazilian butt lift.
Yeah, Brazilian butt lift. So that's
what, the fake butt.
Yeah, well, it's not. It's your fat. It's just they're taking your fat and they're putting it somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
You know, but there are some really great doctors, but they're not the ones who were in the business, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
A lot of them are newer doctors who know what women are looking for specifically in a new BBL.
So you think her thing has gone wrong unintentionally and you think she knew what she was doing?
I think she's looked like this for like more than a year,
right.
For sure. I saw her live at the Wiltern like maybe 2 years.
Right. Before,
was that
2 years
ago?
COVID.
Right
no?
Before COVID, yeah.
Yeah.
And even then I was like, what is she wearing? Is that a butt pad? Like it looked like weird because she's short, you know, and she's always been so fit.
Mm.
And so like, and even then the surgery was not this severe.
Mm.
But still then you could see it was headed in that direction. And she was complaining the entire concert about how her knees are bad. And, you know, like, it was, like, very weird. It was
I think she has a lot of health issues. If we
believe
the tabloids.
The most rebellious thing I think we can do is age gracefully.
Yes.
And if that means a little here and there, like, you know, whatever. But if you're going to go this full throttle way, like, your own full cat lady and you're doing the most, and you want to put yourself in front of the camera, and it doesn't look good, then expect the criticism. But by no means make Madonna a victim. Mm-mm. She's no victim. No. She has full agency, just like I think everybody does. You have a choice. You take a risk. You do the thing.
Of course.
Yeah, it's a risk.
Well, I am under no obligation to accept it as beautiful, if that's what you're hoping for. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, no. I mean, look, she could definitely have hired better doctors. But I also
You should send her a list of doctors.
I also personally, I do my research.
But
let's not be confused here. No, but, you know, but I also... Like, you know, I mean, yeah, if I see a bad bunch, I'm like, oh, that's not cool, you know, but I'm not going to publicly shame her and go on Twitter and tweet about how horrible it is. I don't give a shit. You know, right. I know what her intention was. I would imagine it's not to look ridiculous, though there are some people who literally do try, like the Uniboob woman, you know. So, like, you know, it exists.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
I think it's like body dysmorphia. I think it's more along the lines of you look in the mirror and see something different than what everybody else is seeing.
Yeah, but also, you know, when you look back on what your body was, and I mean, even for me, I'm still pretty young, but when I look back on my body 5 years ago, I'm like, fuck. Mm. I need to get back to that.
But again, it doesn't matter really the looks of all of this, how I see it, how she sees it, how you see it. It doesn't matter. I think she should just be... From the inside out, she should try.
Right,
she
this should is just what
I'm saying. Sometimes the outside helps your insides, though.
The hypocrisy.
What?
She said the outside
helps your insides.
Yes. But your insides help your outsides, too.
Yes. It's a balance.
The more beautiful you are as a person, the more beautiful you look.
Right, but I don't want to be beautiful inside and ugly outside.
And everybody
I just
gets
don't.
The face they deserve. And it really is so true. If you look at people and you look at her face, you're like, yes.
Yes, the new face or yes, the old face?
Oh, what face? Good question. No, but you know how people, when they're just such ugly people and the older they get, you can see it in their face. That's what I was trying to say. You get the face you deserve. You like age with your unhappiness and you just turn into this face.
You
can see it in people's faces.
Yeah.
Like you're not
a happy
person. You're not a good happy person. Like you can just see it.
Well, the hypocrisy in it, and I think this is the hard part that could be hard to sustain. Mm. Is that, you know what, we do mature. We do go through I went through a rebel phase. I'm still a little bit of a rebel, but I am way more, like, chilled out now than I've ever been. Because I'm getting more mature and things like you said, like, you give less of a shit about certain things that you used to get worked up about as you get older. Your priorities change, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, Madonna, to let yourself not... pretend to be this rebel, like what her speech was about, like breaking rules and da-da-da.
As she was introducing.
Which I just said with more enthusiasm than she did on that stage.
Yeah.
And she's 100%. Why is everybody so bored? Y'all need to wake up. It's like, you're being boring. But anyway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What she was saying doesn't match what she looked like. Like,
they were all
like
trying
you,
to figure out who
you
are
gave
you?
In. I remember when I got my teeth done and I could smell the doctor, like getting veneers, I could smell the doctor cutting the teeth and I could smell the bone. And I was laying there and I was going, because my teeth were discolored anyway, from birth, you know? And so I remember laying there thinking, I gave in to the man. This was my moment of, I realized that I was doing this not for me, not because anything was wrong, but because aesthetically I wanted to be seen differently. Mm. And I felt it like in my soul, it was like breaking a line that I had set. I remember feeling that. I bet not everybody feels that
way. Yeah, I guess
it's
personal because whenever I got my nose done, I woke up like, oh my God, this is the face that I always thought I had. Thank God.
It's so cute.
Thank God. Yes. I've been happy ever since. That has been a blessing.
Okay,
yes.
What did I get done? No, I didn't think of anything now. I feel so excluded.
Oh, well, you know you like a little beauty.
I've got doctor's
for that. Oh, a little Botox over there.
Botox.
But you don't ever get your lips done, do you?
No.
No.
Not yet.
No, I haven't
either. Thought of that. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Haven't thought of that.
I haven't thought of that.
I one time got filler on my nose to like make the bump less severe. It lasted for a little while. I quite liked the outcome because it was gentle.
Uh-huh.
You know.
I like your nose. Do not ever change your
nose. Okay. All right. Okay. You know, I'm going to take a vote on that one if I ever do get to that point.
You know what? I got lip filler, actually, to just kind of, because this lip always felt a little small to me. Mm. And I went in, you know, I think I did half a syringe, you know, and honestly.
You love it.
It was awesome. And it lasted for like a year and a half.
Yeah, it lasted a while.
I was going to say, you look very balanced right now. You don't have it right now?
No, you know what? Now it's been at least 2.5 years.
Oh.
I got a little touch up, but it was not much, you know, at one point.
Looks good.
Yeah, and it's lasted
so long. Our secrets revealed.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Well, so if you're wondering.
Not to change subjects, but, you know, a big part of feeling good on the inside is what we eat. And a big like challenge, I should say, one of the complaints I've heard in a lot of transforming areas is that, you know, the options that people have for food are not high quality in a lot of places. And now that there's, you know, prices have gone up, more people are moving into the neighborhood that didn't live there, they're demanding better choices, which I think does benefit everybody in the community. And one of the top, like, renegade rule breakers kind of businesses that opened in West Adams is Highly Likely, which we all go to all the time. So we're so excited to have the brainchild of Highly Likely, the incredible Kat Turner, here with us today on Under All Is the Land to talk about her invention, her recent appearance on a competitive cooking show, her inspirations, and what's next for Highly Likely. Welcome, Kat Turner. Turner from Highly Likely. Welcome to Under All Is the Land.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, we are so excited to learn more about your story. So tell us everything. What did you do before you opened Highly Likely?
Before I opened Highly Likely, I was working events and doing these kind of big productions up in Utah. I was working on a mountain for a group called Summit. And before that, I was a private chef for 10 years, traveled all over with musicians, actors, etc. And then before that, before I went to culinary school, I was an actress and a burlesque performer and a go-go dancer.
That's so cool.
And an art school dropout.
Art school dropout.
Why culinary school?
It was 2008. You may remember there was a little bit of a financial housing crisis,
yes.
And everybody kind of started like freaking out and wanting to kind of, there were a lot of pivots and job shifts, and there was also a writer's strike that year, and
right.
So there was a big halt on a lot of actors getting work, and
yeah.
I knew that I loved to cook, and I thought, you know, I could go to culinary school and I could become a private chef, and I knew a lot of people from living in LA and kind of being in the mix for a long time. And so I left. I was working at Agent Provocateur at the time, and I picked up and moved to New York, and attended culinary school there.
Wow! So you've been around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why did you pick West Adams for the location for Highly Likely?
So I did not pick West Adams as a location. I have really incredible business partners, Alex and Chelsea Matthews and Carrie Mosier. And they came to find that property. And then they realized that they needed a chef. And so they came and found me.
Got it.
Chelsea and Alex bought a house here in West Adams. And they realized that they were driving to Mid-City to get coffee and,
yep,
you know,
just what
brunch
we were talking
like
about
on the weekend.
Before.
Yeah. And they reached out to Carrie, who has a number of restaurants, and they decided that they were going to open Highly Likely.
What year did it open?
It opened in 2018, May. We're almost five.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. I remember when it opened, there was a line down the block.
Yeah.
And it literally
so
sold
I.
out same day, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We opened with a line and it's never gone away.
Yeah. It changed the lay of the land. Like, it was the place.
Everybody, it did.
I mean, it still is the place.
But not without some controversy.
I
remember that there was a little pushback. How was that? What was really like happening? What was the feeling and the vibe and feedback you were getting when you first opened?
It was really mixed. We had a lot of people who grew up in the neighborhood, were, you know, some second generation people that lived in that neighborhood, who really supported us and were excited and, you know, thought, oh, this is something new and different, but we had a lot of people as well who were very resistant to the change and felt like it was, you know, like we were kind of torchbearers, like, you know, we're going to change this neighborhood. So, and you find that in every neighborhood. We're opening in Highland Park.
I know, but you're coming in.
We're coming in afterwards. But there's still, like, you know, a lot of, you know, there's an undercurrent still there. And I have friends that open in Glassell Park, which mm-hmm. is, you know, a little bit more kind mm-hmm. of on the, you know, tipping point. But anytime you come into a neighborhood with something that is so new and different, there are going to be people that aren't going to...
That don't like the change.
Yeah, they're not going to embrace it.
What was it, the price of the food or coffee? Or, like, what was the thing they were most upset about? Couldn't be the aesthetics.
You'd be surprised. I mean, there are... You know, some of it was the aesthetics. Some of it felt...
Too fancy.
Too polished. you know, we... It's... I mean, I don't know how, like, real we can get.
We can get real. This is real.
We are white business owners, like, right. moving into a predominantly black and brown neighborhood. And, you know, really trying to navigate and have the conversations with our neighbors about, you know, what do they want in their neighborhood and what do we want to bring to the neighborhood. And it's an ongoing, ever-evolving conversation. And, you know, trying to... just support the neighborhood as much as possible. And
what are some of the changes that you implemented as a result of that initial resistance?
I mean, we hire from the neighborhood. I mean, that's a huge part of it. Just constantly trying to hire from the neighborhood. Also, we kind of double as an event space. So we are able to host a lot of local organizations and, you know, we work with TEDx Crenshaw and, you know, there's different ways that we can open our space in a way that is supportive to the community.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've, you know, done initiatives of raising money for different, like, local schools and things like that. So,
yeah, that's critical. So, you know, you kind of touched on one of the questions that I had here. In Highland Park, where are you going to be opening?
So we're opening on Figueroa.
Okay. Figueroa. Yeah. And?
Like 55th and Fig.
Okay, mm-hmm. perfect. Yeah. Like prime Figueroa. When does that open?
That is, I mean, we're saying like May, end of May, but I mean, construction, it could be June.
You're like mid-construction right now.
we just like demoed the back wall today. I went over today and it was like demoed and spray paint on the floor and contractors were there. And
make it August. Wow.
Yeah. I hope not. My birthday is July 21st. I want to be open by my birthday.
Got it. Cool. Is the menu going to be the same?
It'll be the same, except this location will have a full bar.
Ooh.
So, so we're really excited to amplify our
profits. Why send a full bar here? Is it a liquor license situation?
We don't have a liquor license. And we always conceived Highly Likely West Adams as a daytime spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just never, and it's not really like a nightlife neighborhood. Like
right.
Highland Park is like, there are people out at night.
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
I feel like in West Adams, it's much more family centric. I feel like people are coming home from work and they're making dinner and they're spending time with their families. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people aren't like going out to bars here so much.
Sure.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yet, at least.
Highland Park,
but Highland Park is like, people are out.
That's,
So what would you say your inspiration for the menu is?
I grew up in Wisconsin. I am very kind of rooted in the aesthetics of comfort food.
Mm-hmm.
But living in a city like Los Angeles, you have access to so much beautiful fresh produce, and there's kind of a demand for just a lighter style of cooking. And just fresh, and I don't know, like I love how bright and fresh LA is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I traveled all over the world for 10 years, and so I spent time in Morocco and Japan and Korea, and I live in K-Town, and you know, you just kind of pick up all these different flavors as a chef, and I love finding ways to incorporate them in new ways. So it's like comfort food, but healthy, and kind of leaves you with this feeling like you're having something that you know, but you're also having something new at the same time.
And you can't just have it anywhere you go, right?
You have to come to Highly Likely.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's really important, strategic, you know?
I think we create really craveable
dishes. Cravable, yeah. To ask Nick what her favorite dish is at your place. Oh. She's eaten
no
it
question asked. Like literally times. Always the Caesar salad.
Oh my god! Like,
how? It doesn't matter where I go. It doesn't matter what salad I get. It is never that Caesar salad.
Oh my god. I love that you stand the Caesar. That's so great. But you get it with bacon bits, right?
I do. Yeah. Bacon bits. It's so good. Yeah. It's so good.
That's why we call it the vegan or not, because it's a vegan dressing. And so we offer it like, do you want it vegan or do you want it, you know, you can kind of modify it in ways that are fun. So I love hearing about people's favorite dishes.
Oh my god. Okay. Mine is the ubiquitous avocado toast.
That, you know, I feel like it's a good. It's a good so avo
full
toast.
Of herbs and things. It's good. It's good. The bread, oh my god.
Oh. Well, Bob and Grandma's makes the bread, and they are literal geniuses. Yeah. They're like gluten wizards.
Well, they just opened in Highland Park.
Gluten wizards.
They opened in Glassell Park.
Glassell, sorry, yes.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, that's okay. A line out the door.
They do have a line out the door.
Crazy.
I mean, I remember when I, you know, we have a headquarters in Eagle Rock, so we have this office in Eagle Rock, and so we were there pre anybody being there, like all other real estate brokerage offices opened after us. It was like us and like one local real estate brokerage that had been there for a million years.
Oh my God.
And I remember when Cafe de Leche was the only like coffee shop on York. Yeah. It was the only thing that was really there. And we started NALA Business Culture, had all the business owners get together and talk about things. But one thing Highland Park did really well was they asked for feedback from the community on planning, on the park planning, and they've always incorporated like people that live there into like the art gallery night and stuff. Yeah. You see kids selling their goods on the street and stuff like that. I think that's pretty cool. Like, you know, I think that's why that project experiment has been somewhat successful, even though I'm sure there's still like diehard anti change activists.
There will be.
Yeah.
And there always will be. And that's totally fine. Yeah. I don't fault anybody for their beliefs about how they want their neighborhood. It's where they live, you know, and where they raise their family.
Of course, but there was nothing there before. And like I was saying, like the complaint tends to be that there's no options.
Right.
Or like you've got fast food, liquor stores, and then there's nothing healthy, you know. So I do think it's something, you know, that's important for quality of life and health of people.
Yeah. No, I agree. We're on the same page.
Yeah. So did you ever cook a plate that people kept complaining about and said it sucked? Like it was so bad?
Never.
No. You didn't ever have to take anything off like, oh, people just hate this thing.
No. I redid our burger and I... retooled the burger and I put shredded lettuce, but I put a little bit of shredded cabbage onto it as well because I like crunchy things. And that was the one thing where they were like, people are complaining about the cabbage. I was like, all right, fine, no cap. But it's honestly probably one of the first times that I've ever made a concession.
Okay.
Because even when I was doing it, I was like, this is kind of weird, but
let's try it out.
Let's see if people like it.
And also you were recently on a big TV show. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I was on Chopped.
Yes.
On the Food Network.
Chopped.
Mm-hmm. It was a Casino Royale tournament, which means they had incorporated gambling into the episode. So when you open, if you're not familiar with Chopped, you get a mystery basket. You open it up, it's got four ingredients. Typically, you have to use all four ingredients, but because this was a casino tournament, you could gamble away one of your ingredients, leaving you open to either getting a lucky ingredient or an unlucky ingredient. That's where the gambling comes in. So you could say, oh, I don't want to use this can of raviolis. I'm going to gamble it away, and you go to a roulette table, and you either land lucky or unlucky, and you could get, like, fermented butter or something.
What did you get in your basket?
Oh, my God. I did two episodes, and I like, blacked out. Like, I...
You don't remember anything?
I'm like, I remember some of the ingredients. I got a lot going on up here. I mean, the craziest ingredient, we can talk about that, so... At the end of the episode, I make it all the way to the dessert round, and I gambled away a rotisserie chicken. Okay. It's like the whole game, I'm like, this is so crazy. I cannot believe these people. like who's the person picking the ingredients for the basket? Right. Like, I want that job. So I gamble away my rotisserie chicken, and I roll unlucky on the roulette table.
Oh.
And they're like, all right, well, you can double down. You can either take the unlucky ingredient or you can go to the slot machine and you can roll the slot. And if you win on the slot machine, then you get another chance and you get a lucky ingredient. Like, it's this whole game. But if you lose on the slot machine, you get the worst ingredient in Chopped history.
Okay.
Oh, which is snails or something disgusting?
Oh, it's like, snails would have been way better than that.
Was it?
So I'm, you know, I'm like, of course I'm going to go do the slot machine because it's, everybody sitting at home watching the TV is like, please, I want to see what the worst ingredient is. Yeah. So I go over, I pull, I lose. I get the worst ingredient in Chopped history. And they bring out a platter of cow's eyeballs.
Oh my God.
Cow's eyeballs. Yeah. Luckily, they were cooked. Luckily, they were not raw. And so I had
to make food with it.
I made ice cream.
She had to make a dessert with it.
I had to make a dessert with it.
And you won.
And I won with it.
And you still won.
Yeah.
See, that's just proof that you can do anything you set your mind to. If you can make a game show winning dessert out of cow eyeballs, then I think, you know, you can do anything.
Let this inspire the world. You can do anything.
Wow. Wow. So what happens after you win? Did you win like a big prize or did
Well, no. That's kind of the funny thing. So it was a whole tournament.
Okay.
So we shot Monday through Friday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday were individual episodes. The winner from each episode then went to compete on Friday. So I shot on Monday and then I shot again on Friday.
Okay.
And I had to compete against the winners of Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Got it.
And I got eliminated in the first round.
Ah!
So I didn't win any money for the first episode. It's all or nothing.
Oh my
gosh. It was so much fun though. I don't really care. And we had a viewing party at the cafe. For both episodes. And the second one, of course, all my friends are there. I didn't tell anybody everything. Everybody's like, oh, you win, right? And I was like, huh, anything can happen. But I was, the one of the other competitors lives in View Park. You know, we filmed together all day. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'd love to host you at the cafe for the viewing party.
Right.
And so I invited her. And so when I got eliminated in the first round, all my friends were boo, freaking out. I'm like, no. Guys, we get to cheer for Sam now.
I love that.
And she won it all.
Oh, wow. What did she win?
She won $55,000.
Oh, wow.
I know.
And what was
and she's been, was she? She's an incredible chef. She doesn't have any restaurant right now here she's working. So
you should have her make one plate, like one Chopped plate special for highly
likely. I want to do a pop-up with her.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
She's amazing.
I love that. Do you guys do catering, like small, like for example, if we have an open house, we want to have you guys make like individual little things?
Yeah, we do catering.
You do?
Oh,
yeah. Little catering?
We have all kinds of different, like we have catering.
Tell us all the things. Because they want to know too. They want to know out there.
Yeah, of course. This is great. We do like office platters of like half sandwiches and salads and cookies, like very kind of basic stuff like that.
Okay.
And then we have party suggestions where it's like little snacks.
Right.
Finger food.
Yeah.
Which are really fun. And then we're working on like a lunchbox kind of item as well, which will be like individually. A realtor box.
Do you do family style catering? Like big.
We do the family style platters and things like that. So you can mix and match. But yeah, we do catering.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite food?
My favorite food, God, I was just thinking about this like desert island. Literally the other day on the car, I was like, if I was stuck on a desert island, would it be pizza or tacos? I love tacos. I love like crunchy, fresh, savory, like.
Were you here in LA? Were you vegan before?
I was a vegan.
Did you?
For a
were you?
Bit.
Okay, I was
actually,
too.
My first restaurant that I worked in was a vegan restaurant.
Was it?
My friend Miranda's in Silver Lake called Flore.
It was in Sunset Junction.
Yep,
yeah, exactly. I remember that place. Yeah. That was one of the first vegan restaurants I ever went to. It was around forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. That's actually the place where I learned one of the things that I have as a favorite thing, which is the half avocado with hummus. Remember they used to have it? It was like so good.
Yes.
Oh my God, always I love a great that place. Snack. But were you part of the LA, there was a rumor that was going around in LA that Jack in the Box tacos were soy. Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course I remember it.
And did you indulge in that? Because I was, and I did. And I'm like, there's no way these can be soy. So I called the company. They were like, no, this is like they said grade A beef. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. But they said 100% beef. But there was this big
rumor. There's no way they're 100% beef. I don't believe that. I always thought that they were a blend of soy
and beef.
And beef to extend the
You would
product.
Think. Right. Yeah. I mean, could they give us real... But it wasn't trendy back then to be like, we have a vegan taco.
No.
So they could have been giving us just full beef flavored filler, and we never would have known.
They could have been giving us anything.
But that was a big rumor.
They were so good.
They were, I know.
I could taste
addicted.
I could taste it. I know, it's almost like a McDonald's French fry or something. Like, it's like, it just, it's so good and so greasy and so bad for you, I'm sure. But
do you have a secret fast food that you still indulge in?
No. Well, I have a thing I dream about, but I never do it, which is basically very simple. I am a soft serve ice cream fanatic.
Wow.
And McDonald's soft serve ice cream, which I will never go, but I drive past and I think about how much it costs, which is like a dollar, and how delicious it really is for that dollar. Feels like a good value.
It's good value. It's good value.
It is.
But it really that's is. My, what's your fast food fantasy?
I'm going to be a lifelong Taco Bell fan for the...
For
the rest of my life. Yeah, I do.
What's your favorite thing there?
I mean, I like that I can get something that's vegetarian because I really like don't want to touch fast food
meat,
animal proteins.
Of course not.
But yeah, they have black beans, so you can get like a black bean crunch wrap supreme, which is
black bean crunch wrap supreme,
delicious and easy to eat in the car. In secret.
Okay. Well, I heard you have some food here for us to try. Let's play this game.
I hope that's no co eyeballs.
Oh God!
Look, I'm not gonna make any promises.
Don't tell. It's what won.
It's what won. She says.
Okay, so here is. It's my favorite sandwich.
Okay.
That we have at the cafe.
Do we need a knife or something to cut this?
Maybe.
Or we each get a whole sandwich. It's a vegetarian.
It is vegetarian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe we need a knife to cut it.
Okay. Okay. Andrew, would you be willing to go out and get a knife?
And then
we'll keep going.
Also, of course, I had to bring
the
hot sauce.
Buy that. And
She's going to be the taste tester of that.
Yes.
I don't know what it is on a scale.
I
but
love
you
a
don't
hot
tell
sauce.
Like to have my hot sauce with chicken tenders.
Ooh.
That's kind of my
alley.
That's kind of my favorite vehicle for hot sauce.
Ooh. So. I'm in that car.
We are going to the same destination. But yeah, the hot sauce is kind of my passion, really. Yeah, of everything that we do at the cafe. I mean, there's so much, the hot sauce, really.
And you made this recipe yourself.
Yeah, we do.
Is this the Kat Turner special?
It is
the
Kat Turner special.
Is there some influence from other chefs?
I mean, there's always going to be influence. I mean, there are definitely people that I admire and kind of flavors of hot sauce that I think resonate. It's kind of got the texture and the heat level of a sriracha, I'd say, but without the sweetness. It's fermented. I love a fermented hot sauce. That's something that's really important to
me. Can you explain what fermented means?
Sure. Fermentation is essentially a process by which there's a bacterial reaction within food, like a microbial reaction that impacts flavor. Mm-hmm. It can also make things...
Like turn into beer.
Yeah.
So when you talk about hot sauce, though, like what's fermented in there?
The chilies are fermented.
Okay.
And
interesting.
I feel like I'm like it's like pop.
It's okay.
Quiz.
You know what
like,
we can do with this? Is it the
this
same?
Is great.
It's the same.
Okay,
great.
Yeah. So let's start with this one because I think that Silke and I have to guess what's in here, right?
Oh yeah.
Isn't that what we're doing?
That's
okay. So first, I want to see Neek try this hot sauce.
Okay, let's do it. Funny story about fermenting. When I was young, there was fermented apple cider that we had that was now a little bit alcoholic. And my friends and I knew that, but my mom didn't know that. And so we got drunk off of this fermented apple cider, and it was the best.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. How old were you?
God, probably 8, 9, 10, somewhere in that
time. You're like, awesome. This apple cider makes me feel good.
It's funny when you're little and you're like just tasting alcohol for the first time. You think if you taste a little sip that you're like drunk. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you don't even know how much you really got.
So much, or you try to make it better. One time I mixed a 40 with a grape juice, like a juicy juice.
Ooh, that's oh, wow. terrible.
It was good.
Was it?
I recommend.
Okay.
I used to do Cisco and orange juice.
If you're 10.
I was going to say beer. Beer and juice is, it's, I mean.
It can be great.
It can be. It's like a shandy. Have you ever had a shandy?
Is that the orange beer?
No, I think they call that a golden Cadillac, maybe. Okay. But it's lemon juice and beer.
Oh. No, it's like in Germany we do beer.
Okay, we've got hot sauce.
Highly likely hot sauce.
Highly likely hot sauce on chicken. Oh my God. The crunch.
I know, I feel like it's like we need like a little ASMR moment.
Yeah,
I can hear
this.
Okay.
It is amazing.
Thank you.
It is amazing.
Is it so hot you need, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how hot is it? Like tolerably hot? Or?
7.5
Okay.
Ooh.
That's tolerably
it's
hot.
It's hot, but it's not.
It doesn't make you want to die inside.
Mm. It makes you want to keep eating it.
Exactly. And that's what I tell people. I'm like, it's spicy in the way that you want to like, you know, get into it. You can get into a hot sauce like this. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to be afraid of it.
It smells so good.
There's definitely. There's a taste in it that I can't pin down, but I can taste it.
Oh, and it's the fermentation.
Nice. Is
that it? Yeah, that's that kind of like tartness.
It's like it adds funk. It just adds a little bit of funkiness. Like it transforms the, it creates umami and.
You guys should try it. Honestly, it's
really
good. Yeah,
I'll put that on my
it's
sandwich.
It's not so hot you can't.
I'll try it.
It's really good.
I'm down. Can you rip me a little?
I do like it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow, that chicken is so good.
Oh, are this one doesn't eat chicken.
This one is.
Would
me.
You well, eat chicken? Yeah, this one's already dead.
No, I'm good.
You can have a little chicken.
No,
chicken
is gonna die.
I'm a pescatarian.
It's great on the. It's
are
great
these
on the
panko breadcrumbs?
Yeah, so it's a tempura batter, and then we drop it in panko.
That is
so
delicious.
It's like double.
Double yum.
Double yum.
Is this the? Is this what you guys use for the? The fish fingers, like is it the same breading? And
it
the
is
process.
Yeah, okay. It's the same.
That's good to know.
And the chicken sandwich. Yeah, exactly. Same breading.
Delicious.
Thank you.
This is amazing.
Thank you. Can this
be ordered online? Do you have like an e-shop or anything?
No, because we don't have shipping set up for it, but you can buy it in the store. And
how can, you know, we have 10,000 followers
oh
on YouTube
my
now.
God.
That's new because we're only on season 3, so we are very grateful. But maybe they don't live here. How mm-hmm. are they going to get it? They have to have a friend in LA?
Ideally, they have a friend in LA. I do have people that reach out though that really want to try it, and I've totally thrown it in the mail. I just don't have like a regular e-shop. So if somebody like is out in Nebraska and really wants to try this hot sauce, I'll pop it in the mail.
Yeah, you got to try it. It's definitely different. It's definitely different than your ordinary hot sauce.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Thank you.
Really incredible.
Thanks.
Better than sriracha, I would say.
Don't
hate me. Like, there are people who are sriracha freaks.
No.
You know, they love a sriracha. That is really, that is
there's a place for
special.
Sriracha. Like,
my husband loves sriracha.
Yeah, there's room for all of us.
Back in the day, I used to work with Kat for a very short time when she was doing like photo editing and photo production, and then she was in my music video. It was a long time ago.
God,
but you know, but the point is, I know where you come from. Like, yeah. I know that you've been here on the ground hustling just like me, finding your space, like what it is that you're really great at, that you want to do. And I love that it's you. And I know your story. So I feel like that's why that's sensitive to you, because you know what it takes. You know, like you've worked so hard. You're like me. You had 10 jobs all the time.
Yeah.
Doing a million things, you know, to keep up.
Yeah, but I never want to push anybody out of the way.
Of course not.
To get what, you know, to get what I want. Like, I want to bring, I don't want to do this. I want to do this.
Yes, mm-hmm. of course. And that isn't a narrative. Us too.
Yeah.
Same thing. We want to do this too. Yeah. Like, and it is important. I remember one time I was talking with this flipper girl about, lady, I should say.
Like
she seemed
dolphin.
Young. No.
house flipper,
a renovation resale artist. And I'm like, what is it that we can do? You know what? It wasn't her. It wasn't SoCal Flipper. It was Coco Cozy. It was Coco Cozy. And she said, you know, what you have to do is you shouldn't wait for people to come to you. You have to go to people in order to, like, say what it is you have to say or, like, bring people into your world. They're not going to just come on their own. And I always think about that, you know, mm-hmm. when it comes to our job and our community outreach and what it is mm-hmm. we care about and how we let our values be known. And so I love everything that you're saying, and I really do feel like every time I go into Highly Likely, it has changed. The vibe has changed from when it opened
yeah. mm-hmm.
to be much more inclusive. It feels inclusive. It feels mm-hmm. like people feel safe there.
Yeah.
It's so diverse. It's fantastic. So congratulations on
it.
Job
feels really good. It yeah. feels like a really special place. So
it is. I'm excited grateful. For it to come to the East Side, too. We're going to have to do this on the East Side. Okay, we're going to taste test.
Okay.
Okay, so we're supposed to guess what's in this. So how are we going to do that? You know what?
Well, I'm going
to
take this half.
I'm going to take this half over here.
Yeah.
We already... Oh, it's coming apart.
Oh, there's one part you have to rip off it.
Got it. There you go. Okay. First things first, I already know the bread part, right? So I'm not supposed to eat that. Well, I'm going to take the whole bite.
What are you... Okay.
So this is a sandwich called the Levantine.
Okay, that is that cheese, that like Moroccan cheese, that, what's it called? It's flat, it's mm-hmm. like you fry it. What is it?
Halloumi.
Halloumi. Halloumi, thank you.
Got it.
Love a halloumi.
Halloumi, it's got arugula, I love arugula.
Mm-hmm.
What is that sauce?
What is the sauce?
I love the onions.
Tomatoes,
And the Persian, is it Persian cucumbers?
Mm-hmm. Persian cucumbers.
Mm-hmm. Tomatoes are great.
Very specific, mm-hmm. I guess.
It's the sauce we need to know.
Do you want me to tell you what's in the sauce?
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
Mm-mm. Not yet? Not yet? Okay.
Is there mayonnaise in the sauce?
There is, but it's special. Special mayonnaise.
An aioli?
It's an aioli of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Is there something fermented in that sauce?
You know, there's actually not.
Could
there
be?
No? No.
Okay. Mm-mm. Okay. I had to try. I mean, definitely tomatoes. Something tomato.
The sauce itself does not have tomatoes in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it complements the tomatoes that are on the sandwich.
Is there lemon in the sauce?
There is lemon.
So where's this beautiful orange color coming from?
And it's not, that would be carrots. No, it's not carrots.
Oh my God.
It has a tartness to it that's almost like a tahini. You know, it has like that kind of taste to me. But maybe that's just the lemon.
Sesame.
Okay.
I think I'm winning.
There's a little za'atar on it, which there's some sesame seeds. So okay. You might be catching a little sesame from that.
Oh, you got the point for that. Okay. I think I'm out of options here. Can we just say I won and let her tell us?
Bell pepper.
There is some bell pepper in the
sauce. Oh, you just think ding, 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 ding. I'm like, I need to know. I mean, it's okay. So tell us.
No. I have one more guess. Okay, wait. I'm just gonna go for sauce now.
I'm
just licking the sauce.
Okay, wait. I'll do that too.
No, out. Lime. Okay, you can tell us.
Just tell us.
Okay. It's a harissa. It's like a harissa mayonnaise.
So that's what I would have said next on the next guess.
The next guess. So we did Kewpie mayonnaise, which is a Japanese mayonnaise, and which is super creamy and kind of the best mayonnaise on the planet.
Uh-huh.
And we make a house harissa sauce, which is...
Moroccan, right?
It's a Moroccan, North African style sauce that it just is really great. It's got a bunch of different types of peppers, dried peppers and roasted peppers and smoked paprika. And,
paprika. That's what it
that's
was.
That's it. Yeah, so
well, that
it is
was
so good.
Wow, so this is available right now at Highly Likely.
That's available right now at Highly Likely. Okay. It's my favorite sandwich. It's one of the ones that I come back to
it's
again
so
and again
good. That cheese,
lunch.
I love so much.
I love halloumi.
I love it so much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How can people find you if they want to solicit you for a bottle of this hot sauce?
Yeah, I mean, we have a website, www.itshighlylikely.com. You can always shoot me an email, cat@itshighlylikely.com. Find us on Instagram, Highly Likely Cafe. And yeah, I guess this would be the, you could call the restaurant. I mean, if you were old school like that. But slide into my DMs.
Slide into her DMs. You heard it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
it's been
you
a total
so
pleasure.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thank
you. She is just the cutest thing.
Yeah. So fun.
Yeah. So fun. And I love that she, that like, she, we just put it together, that she just kind of,
that
like,
you know her from past
life. I knew her because she's such a recognizable face to me. And of course, you don't meet that many people named Kat Turner, you know. But I'm proud of her. I mean, what she's created is great.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's a staple in the neighborhood. Everybody
really
loves
is.
The place. It's
so true.
Yeah. And I love the approach and her sensibility and, you know, she's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a vibe. I just I love that space, period. Like, I'm always like, go there, like, eat the food, it's amazing. Drink the drinks, they're amazing. Look at the aesthetic, it's amazing. Like, everything is amazing about Highly Likely.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Even the name, I love the name.
I know, I love the name. Like, the whole thing, I think they executed perfectly.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
One thing that I wanted to bring up before we wrap is that this morning, we learned at a little agent meeting that single family homes are now on the chopping block for being exempt from rent control in LA City. So in LA City, it's always been that only the units that were built after 79 were subject to rent control. And now they're making it so even single family homes, you can only evict tenants for cause.
So now, way to bring down that party.
Only, I know, that was such a bummer. And then 10% is the maximum rent increase.
I saw that, or you have to cover the person's moving fees.
Right.
3 months, right?
Three months
rent plus $1,000-something.
$1,400 for moving costs.
They're just really trying to discourage people from being landlords.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, they really are.
They're really trying to discourage ownership, which should be alarming to every single person out there.
Yeah, 100%.
Because when the government owns it, the government will also control your access to it and what you need to do to get your access to it. So. Yeah. Be worried.
Yep, be worried. And so this ties in to the agenda item that we were talking about a while ago. California's like secret thing that they're working on is this statewide rentals, like government controlled communist style blocks and blocks of rentals. And I had a dream many years ago and it was my hummingbird dream. Do you remember this dream?
Yeah.
I told you about this dream, right? So I had this very deep dream. I woke up in horrible tears. But the basic premise of this dream was that it was in the future. It was when insects had been eradicated because they potentially caused illness.
Mm.
Okay, so we were in this space of complete sterility, you know? And all of LA shut. I was like trying to go out and my mom called and was like, Courtney, LA shut down. There's a praying mantis on the loose. And people were freaked out. No, I'm serious. Like, the whole city shut down. It was like, you know, it was not unlike probably what happened with COVID, like, where we didn't even know what it was, but it didn't matter. People went into full panic mode. Like, we didn't even question it for a second before people went into full
shutdown. We started wiping
down
our groceries with wipes.
And foolishly sort of, like, trusted the government the way that we did. Anyway. So
a praying mantis on the loose.
On the loose. So I see this thing in my window. And it's like kind of on the windowsill. And I go over to it and I pick it up and it's not a praying mantis. Mm-hmm. And I know it's the thing that's on the loose. And it's a hummingbird.
Oh.
An exhausted little hummingbird. And it was so, so beautiful. And I held it in my hands and it was just the most beautiful thing. And I had to make a decision whether or not I killed it or set it free, knowing that it was going to be hunted and probably just die from exhaustion.
Mm.
Like, do I kill it and let the city go on? So it was kind of like this choice I had to make, red pill, blue pill, between like beauty and truth or like kind of like media paranoia, panic, and like this government kind of conspiracy stuff, you know? And my friend Nava walks over to me with a lit cigarette with the cherry on top and goes, you know what you have to do? And I took the cherry and I put it on the end of the hummingbird's nose, and the hummingbird exploded in my hands, and I woke up in total tears. Like, I can remember the feeling right now.
Oh my God.
It was horrible. But in that dream, we were downtown LA, and we were in huge, long blocks of government rentals that looked like Russia. I mean, it was bad.
Communism style.
Yeah. It was like government-controlled housing, government-controlled phones, government-controlled everything. Like, everything was tracked. I had a card to use the phone, which obviously that one was not technologically futuristic, but in my dream it was. But like when I had this dream, it was probably 1999 or something. Mm-hmm. And so that scares the crap out of me. It's even the ULA. It's like, you know, we were talking about that this morning too. It's like the disincentive for buying, you know, with the thing that tax policy does is it makes people behave a certain way. They can control the way you behave based on incentivizing things. They want more people to buy electric cars. They incentivize electric cars with taxes. They want more people to buy houses. They give you the first time home buyer tax credit. You know, so if they want people to, if they want people to no longer be landlords and they want to create it so that everybody's dependent on the freaking government, then they disincentivize landlords being owners. If they want to disincentivize luxury ownership of luxury, the most expensive properties in LA, they want to discourage private ownership of, then they overtax those luxury listings. You know mm-hmm. what? That should be somebody's nest egg. You should be able to work your way up to having a $5 million property without being charged 5% in transfer tax. Like, it's just on top so of you're already heavy-handed. Yeah. Yes, because already with the increase in capital gains in California and with federal income tax and now your property taxes, and then especially in the hypocrisy of it all, the most upsetting thing is that you don't see where the money is spent. Mm-hmm. The cities have potholes all over the streets. Mm-hmm. Crime is up. The homeless problem everywhere. Is so bad. Mm-hmm. There's literally biohazard areas all over our city. Don't drive down the wrong street because you will see somebody pooping on the street and wiping it all over the handles of every business there. You know, it's mm-hmm. like so bad.
Mm-hmm. So no, they're finding people dead in front of businesses all over the place.
Dead in front of businesses.
Literally, like you hear it multiple times a week. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy. And in places they never had this problem. Like
mental health,
Sherman
drug
Oaks,
addiction.
There was this one restaurant that had three dead homeless people. Huge fires mm-hmm. set by homeless encampments. Yeah. There's a bank in the valley that just caught on fire. Chase,
yeah. This morning, at Cahuenga and Yucca, that 7-Eleven, up in flames.
Wow. It's
a nasty 7-Eleven, but it's nasty because it is literally littered with
homeless people
yeah. and debris and all kinds of stuff.
And we were walking down Hollywood Boulevard the other day, and I was so uncomfortable. I'm like, it feels like I'm breathing, like everything feels like toxic, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like you're walking through other people's like poop pee smell. Mm-hmm. And you know they're
that's downtown
like people
LA for
you know
you
if you too. Watch the news, you see that people mm-hmm. get stabbed randomly by homeless people, like they're out of their mind, they're jumping in your way, they're like, it's scary to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is not my LA. Mm-hmm. And you know, so anyway, I'm like, you can't have it both ways, LA leadership. You can't disincentivize the people who really contribute to the quality of life here, who are the property owners who have a vested interest in keeping things beautiful and bringing new businesses in. That is, you don't want to just punish all the people with money because you feel like they haven't earned it. You know, the people I know who have money, especially in this town, which is a rags to riches town, are people who have hustled their asses off. People like me, and even though I'm not rich, but like I have enough, you know, and I'm grateful for it, but I've worked my fucking ass off.
Yep.
I've had 13 jobs. You know,
you're not born with a golden spoon.
12 years yes. old, I've been working, you know, yeah. the majority of my life before real estate, I had three jobs, which have all contributed in one way or another to my success in real estate, I think. But, you know, Kat, I know she did too, you know, and mm-hmm. most of us have that story. Mm-hmm. So it's like, don't take the soul out of LA by punishing people and then, you know, grabbing so much money and doing absolutely nothing with it to improve our quality of life. This has been a public service announcement from yours truly. We'll see you next time on Under All Is the Land. Bye.
Bye. Courtney, your friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated. Do for yourself. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under All.